If you'd like this morning, you can find your sermon notes, which are on the bulletin that you received as you entered this morning. As we continue our Lenten journey to the cross, this week we're going to talk about betrayal. And so, as you look at your notes, find the memory verse there at the bottom. It isn't from our gospel, but it is the theme of what we're going to talk about this morning from the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Some of you are history buffs, I know, and you know that I enjoy history as well. Oftentimes when we travel throughout the U.S., either in the summer or on spring break with our family, we'll do one of two things, often both. One, we'll go see a baseball game. Imagine that. Pastor would do that. We see a minor league stadium almost everywhere we go. And we'll also do some history. We'll go to a museum or a national park or a monument. And, of course, the boys will go through very quickly with their mother. And there's Dad always dragging behind. Where's Dad? We lost him again. Oh, he's over there reading something. Well, one monument that I have not yet seen, but that I would like to go see someday, is commemorative of what historians say was the greatest battle of the last 1,000 years. And I would have never guessed which one it was, but historians say it was the Battle of Saratoga. Are you familiar with that one? The Battle of Saratoga in New York. 1777, it was the end of the Revolutionary War. And there on that spot, hundreds of soldiers lost their lives. The ground was literally red with the blood of both the British and the American soldiers. Took almost 100 years before a monument could be erected to the four great generals that led the charge and won the war. And so on this 155-foot monument, there are four niches, one on each side, north, west, south, and east. A great general. And so, Horatio Gates on one side, there is Daniel Morgan on another side, Philip Schuyler on the third side, each one in bronze, standing proudly, standing tall for their country. And then, there is one empty niche. The name is there, but there is no soldier. Even though this man was heroic in battle, a great commander, at one time the commander at West Point, a man renowned for bravery and valor, but known to the world as a traitor. And of course, that name is Benedict Arnold. He is missing because later on his statue was removed for his betrayal. Well, this morning we are here to talk about someone who betrayed an even greater cause. Not just a country, not an army, not even a town, but his friend. And so we begin with this, if you want to fill in the blanks. Betrayal is shocking, isn't it? Especially one of the 12. One who had been chosen by the Savior himself. One who broke bread with Jesus, one sent out two by two, who proclaimed the good news of salvation, who healed the sick, cast out demons. And now he is going to betray his Lord. Now here's the deal. If you want to fill in the blanks, the arrow of an enemy can be dealt with. I mean, we don't like it. It hurts. It's painful. But you almost expect that, don't you? Your enemy is going to do whatever they can to make your life miserable. But betrayal by friends hurts beyond words. For all of you who have ever been betrayed, no matter who it was, a spouse, a parent, a child, a co-worker, a neighbor, a friend, you know how much betrayal hurts. Pierces your soul. There was a woman who wrote a devotion for the Upper Room magazine, Christian magazine. She talked about her husband of 32 years. He left her for another woman. And these words, which are in your notes from Philippians chapter 3, she heard shortly after in a sermon from her pastor. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. Great advice, actually words she had used many years before in her high school valedictory address. Great advice. She told all the students in her class, you know, forget all the stuff that went on before. Those friends of yours in high school who betrayed you, those boyfriends who stabbed you in the back, those people on the track team, she said, that you thought were your closest allies, and yet when they had the opportunity, they pulled the rug right out from beneath you. All had made so much sense until it was her husband. And she said, forgiving and forgetting is not easy. And we know this. When you are the one who has been betrayed, how difficult it is to move on. We know the pain of betrayal, and yet what is even worse is being the betrayer. When you're the one who has to look into the eyes of the person you have hurt. I remember when my kids were little, they loved to go out and play catch in the backyard. And most days, especially in the summer, I would go out and I would play with them. But I remember one time, I don't know, probably John was about 7 or 8. I was waiting all day for Dad to come home. But you know what? It's not always easy being a pastor. Had a bad day at the office. You guys have bad days wherever you work from time to time. Came home and I said, I am exhausted. I'm too tired. All I want to do is take a hot Epsom salt bath, which we learned on the farm is great for the body and the soul. And that's what I did. But to see the look in his eyes later on when he came in, still with the glove and the ball. It gets you. Oh, my goodness. When you are the betrayer, when you are the one who has broken your promise, when you are the one who is blinded by your own selfishness. I mean, as much as it hurts to be hurt and betrayed, it is so much worse, a million times worse, when you realize that you are the betrayer, and how much more than even when you are Christ's betrayer? How much more when you are Christ's betrayer? Judas was so filled with remorse, we read that he went out and he hanged himself. And the question that we always ask is, why? What was Judas's motive? After being so close to the Lord, what could possibly cause him to betray his Lord? Well, honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we can speculate, and theologians do. That's what we do. Got to have a reason. My guess is that it wasn't just one thing, maybe many things. Maybe it was greed. Can write that down. Maybe greed. 30 pieces of silver, right? Maybe greed. 4 months' wages. Maybe. It's enough to free a slave, but come on, retirement? Any of you want to retire on 4 months' wages? That's why I'm working till I'm 85, because that's all I got saved, 4 months' wages. So I don't know, maybe greed, maybe not. How about jealousy? Jealousy? Yeah, but of what? He's one of the 12. He's one of the chosen. But he's not one of the three. He's not Peter. He's not James. He's not John. He doesn't get called up to the mountain for the transfiguration. He doesn't get called to watch and pray. And not only that, he's the only one that is from Judea. You ever wonder, Judas Iscariot? What's that mean? From Cario, a town in Judea. Not a Galilean like all the rest, not from Nazareth, not from Capernaum. Maybe jealousy, I don't know. I suppose it could have been anger. You remember the story? The woman comes to Jesus, wants to anoint his head with oil, with perfume. What does Judas say? Should have saved it for the poor, right? Should have saved it for the poor. You don't need to waste that good stuff. And Jesus rebukes him. The poor is always going to be with us. And aren't the poor always with us? I just came back from a conference in Phoenix this week. Great weather, by the way. Hope you aren't jealous of that. As soon as we got away from the airport, rental car, riding with my brother, and headed to the church for the conference, very first stoplight, homeless man. Can you help the poor? We see it all the time here in Crystal Lake, right out there, probably this morning in the grove of trees, homeless. Poor are always with us, Jesus said. And yes, you should help them, but the Son of Man isn't always going to be with you. We sang that song early in our worship today about giving all praise and honor and glory to God. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. You'll always have the poor. Maybe He's angry. I know I get sometimes when I feel slighted, when I get rebuked, someone shakes their finger at me, calls me out, tells me what I did wrong. Anger, I don't know. Maybe disappointment. See, Judas wanted a different kind of kingdom. Not a heavenly kingdom, not a spiritual kingdom. He wanted the restoration of Israel to be back on top. Kind of like you Cub fans wanting the Cubs to be back on top. Not the Cardinals like they've been. Disappointment. I don't know. Who knows? Does it matter? Does it matter? What we need to remember is that he did it of his own free will. He made the choice. Scripture just said when we read the gospel that it was done so that the scriptures could be fulfilled. And we say, well, see, he didn't have a choice. He had to do it. But did he? Do you have to commit the sins you commit? Do you? Is it preordained? Got to be selfish? Got to get angry? Got to be jealous? Got to be greedy? No! It's a choice. And for Judas, it's a choice. Anyone could have betrayed the Lord. And didn't they? Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Remember that story? Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Scripture also says that when he made that last denial, that Jesus looked at him. Can you imagine the remorse that Peter felt? Is that any worse than betrayal, denial? Or the 3 that fell asleep in the garden? Watch and pray. We just sang that song. Watch and pray. Can't you just be there with me for a little bit? No, they fell asleep. And we also read this morning, once again, that after the little skirmish in Gethsemane, all the disciples fled, all of them. Is that any worse? And where were they on Good Friday? John's the only one there. They all left. Could have been any of them. And what about us? What about you? What about me? Anybody remember their confirmation? Raise your hand. Do you remember your confirmation? Other than the sweaty palms and the shaky knees because pastor was going to ask you a tough question. I mean, besides that, do you remember what you said? Well, let's see. Might have been a little different in your situation, but this is what we ask our growing adults at their confirmation. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? And the answer is, yes, I do. Yes, I do. But do you use them? Do you? We have a gifted congregation, and I sincerely mean that. Went to this conference. It's called the Best Practices Conference. Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, fifth year. Almost 2,000 people went, and I hear all kinds of stories about churches, dying churches, plateaued churches. And every time I come back from that conference or others, I am just amazed at how this congregation serves. We have lay liturgists. We have lay readers. We have a praise band. We have people back there on the monitor making sure that the sound and the video always works. We have greeters. We have ushers. We have people out there putting out the precious donuts. We have Sunday school teachers right now laboring on the other side of the building. On Saturday, this place is filled to the brim with servants for Upward. And our Lutheran school has so many gifted and dedicated servants. Do you renounce the devil? Do you renounce all his works? Do you renounce all his ways? Yes, yes, yes. But always? Always? I mean, last week we talked about temptation. You ever give in to temptation? Yes, I can say to that. The chocolate that we gave up for Lent is calling my name. The donut. Or even the kindness that we promised to do this year. Do you believe in God? Yes. Jesus Christ? Yes. Holy Spirit? Yes. Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God? I do. But do you read them? All of them? Daily? Any of it? Do you intend to hear the word of God, receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Yes. Every week? Well, maybe not. Maybe not every week. There are some weeks other things get in the way. Baseball practice, soccer practice, trip to the lake, vacation, tired, cold. Maybe not every week. Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit even to death? Of course! Of course! If I were in a country and I had to give up my life for the gospel, of course! I would do it. I'd stand up. I'm a Christian. But will you die to self here in America? Every day? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession in church? And to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it. At the water cooler at work, do they even know your confession? Does your neighbor know you're a Christian? And so when we're honest, we too have betrayed the Lord. And yet that is not the last word. The last word is this, that there is hope in the cross. There is always hope in the cross. For Peter, there was still renewal. There was restoration after he went away so sad for what he had done. After the resurrection, Jesus says, Peter, will you feed my sheep? Yes. Peter, will you feed my lambs? Will you feed my sheep? Yes. And he was forgiven and he was restored. And he became a pillar in the church. You see, the cross always, and I mean always, and I mean always, removes the terrible weight of our sin. of our betrayal, when we haven't used our gifts, when we haven't made our confession, when we haven't been faithful, when we haven't kept our promises to the Lord or to the people around us, when we have sinned, the cross removes the burden and the weight every time. And if we are one who has been hurt by another, if they have betrayed us, the cross provides relief. Relief from the bitterness, relief from the pain, relief from the hurt. And as we have been forgiven of our own betrayal, we then also can move toward forgiveness of those who have betrayed us. As we continue our journey to the cross during this Lenten season, the only monument that is going to be built is the monument of the cross, to which we look to know once again that the debt for betrayal has been paid. And no matter where you are in your journey, on the first step or in the middle or toward the end, even if you have turned around from your journey to the cross, even if you've forgotten that it's Lent at all, your debt has already been paid. Jesus said, "I have canceled all that debt of yours through the monument of the cross." May every time that you see that monument, may you be reminded of your forgiveness. Amen.